the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
We're in the New Testament book of Ephesians, and there's so much rich content in chapter 1. And chapter 2 begins with the word "and." So it's talking about the fullness of God's power in Jesus Christ. All things are under his feet. That's the authority of Christ, not only the head of the church, but the sovereign of all the world. And the church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, chapter 2, "And you he hath quickened." Hi, Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper. This is Exploring the Word. And Bert, I don't know if it sinks in to the degree that it should, but those words, "and you, individual believer, you dear one who have called on the name of the Lord, you've been quickened, you've been made alive, you are forgiven, you are redeemed." Those are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful words of life, aren't they?
They really are, and a word that will occur in two different times in verses 2 and 3 that gives an explanation of that. Once, O-N-C-E, once you walked according to the course of this world. And then in verse 3, "and once conducted ourselves according to the lust of our flesh." Once they did that. But guess what, Alex?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. And so what you have in verses 1, 2, and 3 is the description of the old man. And Paul does this several times in his writings, comparing the old to the new. And the old man once was controlled by his flesh and the world. That's, when I say flesh, we're talking about his nature, not the physical body, but his nature. But God, through Jesus Christ, that we talked about in chapter 1, his redemption, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, the seal. Part of the sealing of the Spirit is being indwelt by the Spirit. Because of that relationship, we do not walk in the world and in our flesh, our nature, anymore. We have what? We have a new name written down in glory. We have a new nature. Now, the old nature is still there, but we have the new nature. We're dual natured because we have to, what, battle against that old nature until we come into his presence. So, Alex, chapter 2, we talked about how great chapter 1. It doesn't let up in chapter 2 about how great it is to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Let's talk about two words. Are versus were. Chapter 2, verse 1, "you, believers, he hath quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." We're not anymore. We're alive. We're not dead. And we're not viewed as trespassers and sinners, but forgiven, redeemed, even in the eyes of the Father, righteous. On the flip side, though, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you are dead in trespasses and sins. Now, the believer was, but not anymore. The unbeliever, doesn't matter what else you've accomplished. You could have money, accomplishments, accolades, everything the world defines as success. But without Christ and his forgiveness and his righteousness, without salvation through Jesus, you might look good on the outside, but spiritually you are dead. That's why the new birth is so imperative. You know, evangelists, and I'm on the road evangelizing every weekend. Thank God. I cherish that calling. But we have a responsibility to tell people what Jesus said in John 3. Unless a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's why, Bert, all of eternity hangs on are versus were.
Amen.
Yeah.
Notice what it says in verse 2, according to, again, according to what? As you said, course of this world, again, verse 2, according to the prince and power of the air. Now, we're talking about the enemy. We're talking about Satan. That's one of the titles that God has given him. the spirit that now works in what? The sons of disobedience, according to your, now here, the reason I bring that up, I believe, honestly, we're going to do something according mm-hmm. to who I am, according to what is taking place. So what you have to do is is change your according. Get my my desire to be humorous, but we have to change what we're according to, not to the world and not to Satan, but to God and to His Spirit. We walk according to them. That's the new nature. The old has passed, the new has come. And so we don't need to walk according to the way we were. Now, Alex, let me throw this in, and I want you to comment on it if you don't mind. If you're not careful, especially in those early days, and we do have people who listen that has not been saved very long, and they don't have a history of walking with God, in difficult times, if we're not careful, we'll turn to the familiar, okay? Yeah. But that I mean, you know, I've known some people that were delivered from alcohol, and at a time of difficulty and hardship, what was their, you know, the old nature turning to alcohol, or turning to drugs, or turning to a illicit relationship, turning to people that once they walked with, but no more. So listen, the quicker, and I'm trying to say this as strongly as I can, the quicker we are discipled into following Jesus Christ, the more we have to refer to the familiar. The familiar is going to the Word of God. The familiar is asking for prayer. The familiar is being accountable to. Does that help? Amen. Does that make sense?
Thoroughly. Well, I would say the quicker that we learn who we are in Christ, and the more thoroughly, the more consistently we walk in that. And, you know, a lot of times we cling to lies that hurt, but they're habitual. I'm a loser. I'll never amount to anything. God has things for somebody else, but not for me. No, those things are false. And like you say, we might be hurting, but we know what we know. And growing in Jesus, you're in a new place, dear believer. You're a new creation. You've got, because you had that moment of meeting Jesus, you've got a new future ahead of you. And so don't let Satan lie to you about your present by bringing up your past.
Amen.
And Satan does that, doesn't he, Bert?
He really does. He is a liar. There's nothing he will not do. Now, I'm going to use an old illustration that I've used and talked about it, but it was one when I was a kid that really impressed me. They had, here in Northeast Mississippi, they had a pro wrestling show on Saturdays, and those of us, you know, it was, yeah, I know it's
we
pro
had
wrestling.
That in North Carolina,
okay.
Too.
Back then, in those days, hey, you've heard that before. You had those that were clean wrestlers and those that were dirty wrestlers, okay?
The bad guys.
The bad guys. And it was more pronounced then than even now. But I would say this, there's nothing that the dirty wrestler would not do to try to win the battle. I mean, he would pull hair, pull the tight, hit with his fist shut. I'm using those things. Satan is that kind of enemy. There's nothing that he will not try on you to keep you living in the past of failure when God is saying, no, follow me. I will be with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. And I think in this passage in Ephesians 2, you have that. He's warning them, you once walked in that. You once had this. No longer. As Alex, you have said, live in the presence, and the presence is the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us, the redemption that came through Jesus Christ, the Word of God that we can feast upon, and the accountability of brothers and sisters in Christ. Those Amen. Things are really important for us to walk as He would have us to walk, aren't they?
Amen. They really are. You know, some of the contrast here, you know, alive versus dead. But then there's in 2 and 3, the word children. Children of disobedience, children of wrath. And if you're a believer in Jesus, you're in a new family now. Your family status has changed. You're in the family of God. You're not a child of disobedience, and you're not in that family as the children of wrath, fulfilling the desires of the lust of the flesh. I love verse 4, but God. Okay, chapter 2 begins, and you, he is quickened, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. All right, just as Jesus was quickened, raised from the dead, after having paid our sin debt on Calvary's cross, we are resurrected. And you might say, well, I don't feel all that much resurrected. Well, you are in the eyes of God. And one of the beautiful things, and I think this is worth talking about. As human beings, a part of who we are is emotional. You know, we are cognitive and we think, and we are emotive and we feel. And when you come to Christ, I mean, I've seen people shed tears of joy. I've seen people exuberant with the joy of the Lord. And I've seen people fairly stoic and not a lot of emotion. But you know what? Your emotions come and go. But where you stand with God is not based on feelings. Where you stand with God is based on the fact of his word and his promises. And Bert, in a way, our salvation is a legal matter. And the reason I say that, it's covenantal. When you put your trust in Jesus, according to God's word, which cannot fail, and by God who does not lie, when you put your trust in Jesus, irrespective of your emotions or feelings, your standing in the universe changes. You are now a child of the King.
Hallelujah.
Your name is in his book. And so I think, like verse 4, he is rich in mercy. He has showered his great love on us. We have been quickened and raised. I'll say this, I'll throw it to you. If Jesus was resurrected Sunday morning, then every believer is risen and now alive in Christ as well.
That's why in verses 5 and 6, you have the word together. That is the word. As you said, the resurrection of Christ, notice what it says, made us alive together with Christ. It's all in him. And then in verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies where Christ is. That's where we will be. But he said, I got to go away. But if I go away, I'm going to send the paraclete. I'm going to send the Spirit. And he's going to do what? Indwell you. And he's going to lead you even into greater paths. While Jesus was here, Alex, he could only be in one place at one time. That's one of the things the incarnation did, that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among those of us that were flesh at that time. But the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he can indwell each believer, whether they're on the other side of the world or in our neighborhood, the Holy Spirit of God working how, and I want to say this word loud and clear, together. I think Amen. It goes back to Romans 8. God takes all things and works them how? Together. That's yes. our God. One of the greatest words you'll find in the New Testament when it talks about our relationship with Christ is together, isn't it?
It is. It is. Well, that's Bert Harper, Alex McFarland here, exploring the Word. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. We invite you to follow along. Plus, later on, we'll take your calls and questions. So stay tuned. We're back after this brief break.
The AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
My faith don't flinch at your wrath. Devil gonna get off of my shoulder. You thought you had the last laugh. You thought this song was over.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. This is Bert and Alex, and it's Wednesday, And we're glad you're listening. That means tomorrow is Thursday, and we're going to do something this Thursday that we do, you know, very seldom. I just want to tell you, we're going to have a day that we call Thunder Thursday. That means on Thursday, we're going to take questions the whole hour. And we're looking forward to that. Alex and I do that every once in a while. Now, Alex, I do like format. I do like order. But I also enjoy slipping a change in there every once in a while. So we're gonna slip Thursday into Thunder Thursday, and we're going to answer some questions that people have for us. I'm looking forward to that, brother.
Us too. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and already give that number for questions today. In the third segment, we'll take questions today and then for the entire hour tomorrow. But it's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840 if you have a Bible question. And I just want to say thanks to all of our listeners who are so conscientious and such an encouragement. And Bert, we've had enough questions to write three books about it, and so we're very indebted, but we have such a good time looking over these things together. You know, Bert, before the break, you were talking about the word together, that we're raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7 of chapter 2, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Folks, over and over, the bountiful love of God, the amazing, immeasurable, unhindered, bountiful love of God showered on whosoever will may believe. And that blessing, that forgiveness, that restoration, that guidance, protection, instruction, infilling, fulfillment, joy, and blessing, folks, it's as close by as a prayer to Jesus, and your walk with him can begin today.
Alex, this is so powerful, and I just look in verses 1 through 3, he demonstrates once what we were, the past. Now, when he comes in the present, God has shown us that we're together with Christ, but in verse 7 and even in verse 6, it so shows our future. As a follower of Jesus Christ, our past can be overcome, our present can be victorious, and our future will be glorious in Christ Jesus. That is what we have in Christ. This redemption that he started talking about in chapter 1, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. It's better than anything you could even ask, think, or imagine. When Paul was caught up into the third heaven, he said, I saw things that I can't even begin to describe how great and awesome it is. So here in this verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, okay, he, God, might show us exceeding riches. All these words that describe what we were in the past, we were lost in sin. What we have in the present, we are victorious. We can walk in newness of life, and our future exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even imagine. So if you're a believer, that's what you have. If you're listening today and you're an unbeliever, that is what you're missing out on. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm going to do it because I want you to experience the good news. This life for the lost person is as bad. This life for a lost person is as good as it's going to be. If you die in your sin and you wind up separated from God in a place called hell, in a place of torment, in a place of memory, after memory after memory, I could have, I didn't. Listen, that's your future. But for those of us that are believers, this is as bad or as difficult as it's going to be, because waiting on us is described in verse 7 that he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's quite a contrast, Alex.
It really is. And the difference between having Jesus and not having Jesus, I mean, it's the difference between night and day. dark and light, hell and heaven, saved and lost. I mean, it really is. We get in verse 8 to some of the most famous. In fact, I remember many, many, many years ago in Vacation Bible Study, I loved these words, the very cadence of these words. I sort of understood them at about 8 or 9 years old. They really, really came real to me at age 21. But it's Ephesians 2, 8, and 10. And I would be sure, Bert, some people listening learn these as memory verses as children. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And Bert, I remember one summer, maybe I was 12, but these were the verses of Vacation Bible School, and they're so sweet to this day. These are some of the just wonderful, wonderful words of life. For by grace, it's by his mercy, we're saved. How? Through faith. Did we do it? Did we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and save ourselves? No. Not of yourselves. It, salvation, verse 8, is the gift of God. Then just this, another reminder, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Heaven is not going to be a bragging match. I was so good. I was so righteous. I know I got here to heaven. How in the world did he get here? No, it's not going to be that. Heaven wouldn't be very heavenly, would it?
It would not. It's not a competition. It is the glory of Christ. Again, let's talk about grace, and I'm going to do something that most, if you've been a follower of Christ a long time, you know this already. It's the unmerited favor of God. We didn't deserve it. It's simply who he is by his grace. And also the acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. Mm-hmm. He paid the price. There was no other way. If there be any other way in the garden, God would have said, "Son, you're right," because Jesus prayed, "If there be any other way, let this cup of suffering, the cross, pass, go by." And silence has never been so loud, because mm-hmm. there was no other way. And Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done, Father." So this is his, "But for by grace you have been saved through faith." And notice, not of yourselves and not of your works, not of anything. It's what I've done for you. And it is the gift of God. Now, that's what changes a lot of it. A gift must be purchased or bought or paid for, but it also must be received. You can't force a gift on someone. They must receive it. It's like the relay race, and we talked a little bit about that before, that, you know, running a relay race, the most important part is when it exchanges hands. It must be offered, and it must be received. Our salvation has been offered to us through God, through Jesus Christ, by grace, but it must be received. How must it be received? By faith. We trust him. We put everything in him, not of ourselves. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But God has done that. Now, it doesn't end there, and we'll get to verse 10 when it says we're his workmanship. In other words, I'm going to say this, and I'll throw it back to you, Alex. We're not saved by our works, but because we are saved, the works should follow. And so we are his workmanship, created unto what? Good works.
Yeah.
Works should be a part of our walk with the Lord, called discipleship, should it not?
Exactly. Verse 10, Ephesians 2. And folks, let me just encourage you, read Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, and just ponder on those and prayerfully think about those. And maybe you've heard these your whole life, and it's as familiar as your own name. That's probably so, because, you know, this is one of the, you know, if the Bible had a greatest hits album, the verses that are so beloved, these would be among them.
They would.
But for we are his workmanship. And I know everybody's probably heard this preached, but it's true. It's the Greek word poem. just like a beautiful poem, and I love poetry, and a well-constructed poem is just a piece of art, really. God is writing your story. In fact, it's a lovely bit of verse. It's a beautiful thing. We're his poem, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You said it well, Bert, not by our works, but once we have been saved through Christ's finished work, our life bears fruit. We do good works. You know, Bert, I love the testimony when I'm traveling and I meet people that are very faithfully teaching Sunday school or serving, being used by God. People will tell me, you know, so-and-so was the first one in our family to ever become a Christian, and now the kids, the grandkids, aunts, uncles, everybody's a believer now. I mean, when Jesus gets a hold of one person's life, there's this beautiful ripple effect all around. Here's the thing. I love to meet people, and they'll say, I never dreamed I'd be helping out with the choir, but God saved me, and I found out that I had this opportunity and this ability. I never dreamed I'd be teaching Sunday school, but you know, this is something that God's allowed me the privilege of doing. And isn't it amazing where our life can go when Jesus Christ is in the driver's seat?
Alex, praise God for this. We could, and we may do it, spend the rest of the time on this verse, but I want to tell you an experience I had just last week. I heard that a former member that where I was pastoring here in Tupelo, and his name is Ken, and he was in hospice. And so I made sure I went by to visit with Ken. His wife had died a month before. Now he's in hospice. His wife, Betty, died. And he and his wife taught preschool there in this church where I pastored for 28 years, West Jackson Street Baptist Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. They taught in the Sunday school class, preschool, 50 years.
Praise God.
Can you imagine how many children they went through? Our three sons went through their class. And Ken would just, he worked with his hands and would work, and he would always make something for the kids that when they left, they had something to remember being in their class. And so that is his workmanship. That's what he's doing. He's writing your poem. Someone has said it's like a canvas and you're God's masterpiece. And he, notice what it says, created. Okay, he created this possibility of good works. People will see your good works. And what will they do, Alex? Will they glorify the Father who's in heaven?
Glorify the God. Glorify God, yes.
Yes, that's exactly what we want. It's, and you're talking about in heaven, it's not going to be what we did and anything. God's going to recognize it. But if we get something, a crown or a reward that he gives us in heaven, we're going to cast him at his feet because of what? Going back to verse 8, Bert, Alex, Brent, mm-hmm. Marty, Richard, these are all the guys right here in the studio. It was by grace.
Amen.
It was by grace. And if you don't realize it now, listen, God loves you. He's got a plan for you that you should walk in it. It's not easy. It is a great adventure. And sometimes you don't even understand exactly why he's leading or what he's doing in your life. But you trust him, don't you, Alex?
Amen. And let me just say, and I want to be very careful here. All right, we are not saved by our meritorious efforts or good works. Christ paid it all. Now, we receive that gift. We put our trust in Jesus. But one of the great witnesses and one of the great ways that we honor God, we're in a state of worship, and we're a witness to those around, is the fact that we are a Christian. Right? Now, it says, and I don't want to belabor the point too much, but this is worth talking about. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I looked it up in the Greek lexicon here, Bert. The word created is really having been created in Christ Jesus. In other words, folks, this is what you were made for.
Amen.
I mean, and in a way, the word, not to get too deep, but it's like an object created in a foundry. I don't know if you've ever seen something cast. When it first comes out of the mold, you can definitely see the shape, but the more they polish it up, the real identity of the piece or the part comes out. And it's been my privilege to be in a couple of foundries and see how they'll cast things. And folks, when you come to Christ, the die is cast. You're a child of the King now. You're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You're imparted with certain competencies and strengths, your spiritual gifts. Now, years of growing and walking, you get more and more polished, and the true identity comes out all the more vividly with every passing year. But this, to know the Lord, to be victorious and joyful in Him, and to bear fruit, this is your identity, dear believer.
Walk in them. He's got the course set out. Follow Him, walk in Him, and let God show you this great adventure. That number for your phone call that you will make today, 888-589-8840. Give us a call. We'd love your Bible question. Right now, the voices in our culture are loud, but truth is often silent. And today, Preborn needs you to help speak that truth. Women facing unplanned pregnancies are often pressured to act quickly. Before they have time to pause, breathe, or hear the truth about life, dignity, and hope. But I refuse to be silent, and I'm asking you to join me. At Preborn Network Clinics, a woman is welcomed with compassion and given a free ultrasound. She sees the life growing inside her, often for the first time, and in that sacred moment, fear gives way to clarity. And she's offered something the abortion industry will never provide, the hope of Jesus Christ. This April, our goal is to have 11,000 gospel conversations in Preborn Network Clinics, trusting God to bring the increase as we remain faithful to speak. You can help make that possible by sponsoring ultrasounds. Just $28 provides one ultrasound. $140 sponsors five ultrasounds for mothers in crisis. Every dollar helps save babies and share the good news of Jesus Christ. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/host. That's preborn.com/host.
Praise Him for friends and family.
Hallelujah, amen. Yes, we are praising the Lord. Thanks to Brent Austin for those good musical selections as we come back from a break. Hey, here's the number, folks. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We're going to go to calls. And by the way, let me throw this out there. June 20th, and you may remember the last two summers, we've done a lot of conferences in the Myrtle Beach area. Now, we're all over America. I've got a big event in Texas in July and other things. Our youth camps are Montana, Pennsylvania, Florida. But let me say this to everybody. I know we have listeners in Wilmington and Conway and all around. June 20th, that's a Saturday night, at the Greg Rolls Theater. We're doing a Revive US event, just getting together to have some incredible music from a praise band. We're going to pray. I'm going to be preaching. And so stay tuned to alexmcfarland.com if you would. It's free. We're just coming out to promote revival, a spiritual awakening. Be a good thing to bring a person to that needs to hear the gospel. So June 20th, and the Greg Rolls Theater is in the North Myrtle Beach area. And Bert, I just want to, I'll be reminding people, God is at work in this, our nation's 250th birthday. What a great thing to seek revival in this quarter millennia anniversary of the USA.
Amen. Let's celebrate 250. God's blessed us. We want to stay with God. So, Alex, mm-hmm. hope it goes good.
Oh, thanks. Well, we're going to start out in Texas. Diana in Texas. Diana, thanks for calling Exploring the Word.
Hi.
Howdy.
I'm going to try to get these words out. I always get so nervous when I call. And my faith journey, I wish I had y'all on speed dial because I always have so many questions that I say, I'm going to call them and ask them this, and then I forget what it was. But anyway, first of all, I just want to give praise to God. Last year I was on probation, and I was asked to come to a retreat. And it was for women that, who had been incarcerated or on probation or in the system somehow. And, this year I'm on team for the retreat. And these women are mostly Catholic. It's non-denominational retreat. It's the Ministry of the Third Cross. But just so happens that most of these women are Catholic women. And I love these women, you know, and... I gave my testimony this past week, you know, and I was kind of worried about how they would receive it, you know, because most of them had not been in my situation, you know. But one of them, after telling my story, one of them messaged me and said that that I was going to do more for this retreat than she could in a lifetime, you know, because of my story and the things that I had been through. And it was just—it's just so wonderful to be able to praise God and show people that there's hope and be a light in someone's darkness. With that being said, these women who mean so much to me—I get—and they don't shove it down my throat or anything. But this retreat is at a Catholic church, and it's—they're all Catholic and stuff. And it just concerns me because, like, in my belief that. I can come to God because of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. And they're always saying things like Saint Michael intercede for us, or that it just seems like they care so much about the Mother Mary. And like, they even said that she lived a sinless life. And I have a problem with that. And, I just want your opinion on that. Am I wrong for the feelings that I have about that? And if I'm right, how should I approach them about this because of my love for them and because of, you know.
Yes, I think we understand what you're saying. Let me say the Bible talks about that we may know how to answer every man. Isn't that something, Bert? And every person around us, you know, especially with Roman Catholics. And I know there are born-again Roman Catholics, and then there are others that they know they've got a lot of the basic building blocks in their mind, but they've not yet had a new birth experience with Jesus Christ. Keep being a witness. Keep, you know, role modeling Christianity. And whenever you have a chance to appropriately interject into the conversation and share the gospel. You know, I often say, you know, isn't it good how Jesus loves us and how he says close by is a prayer? And I quote scripture, you know, so many of the great verses about salvation through simple faith, not works. But whenever it comes time to really have that heart-to-heart talk, talk about what we agree on. You know, we agree the Bible is God's word, and Protestants and Catholics agree on that. Jesus is the sinless Son of God. And let me just say this, Bert, you feel free to agree or disagree, but rather than attack their views about Mary or their misconceptions, maximize on how great Jesus is, and that it's Jesus and Jesus alone. Because there's something about when you're, and I don't mind telling people when they're mistaken, but, you know, by attacking something that maybe they've heard their whole life, they instinctively will put up a barrier. What I try to do, and all the while I'm praying, is keep lifting up Jesus, keep Jesus way out front, and how we are complete in Christ through faith in Him. And I think the Holy Spirit will use that in a pretty compelling way.
Amen. Let me just share with you, and I'm not trying to promote what we did today, but Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 is the model. Let me share it with you. Verses 1 through 3 talks about the past. Diana, you have a past. That's why you were incarcerated. That's what brought you there. But and you don't dwell on it a long time. You talk about your past, the present, what God has done in your life right now, that you're in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ that no other kind of relationship can have. It is that strong. But you also talk about the future, that it said in verse, as I said, the ages to come. Heaven is a real place for people who are prepared through a relationship with Christ. And then verses 8, 9, and 10 tells you about that relationship. So honestly, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 is a perfect roadmap of sharing Christ. And I agree with Alex. It's not necessarily that you go against them. If they come to you privately and they want to talk to you about it, yeah, you share it. But there, make much of Jesus. But right here is, I would say, the outline. I'm always using outlines. Is the outline, the guideline for I think, you to share the truth that what God's done in your life, and He can do it for them.
Amen. And God bless you, Diana, as you are a witness for Christ. Let's go to Kentucky. Steve in Kentucky, thank you for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, Bert and Alex. I consider you guys some of my best friends.
Amen. Well, thank you,
back
Steve.
At you, brother.
You bet. Amen.
Yeah, I love you guys. Who is the prince in the book of Ezekiel? Is he someone in the millennial kingdom? Because he talks about his entrance into the millennial temple. And I'm not sure if he's a priest or an administrator, but I think he offers sacrifices, so he must be a priest. But they just refer to him as the prince.
Now, is this like in Daniel chapter 9, the prince who will come? Are you referring to that? Because that, in Daniel 9, this prince that comes is the Antichrist.
Oh, no, no, no. This prince, he's a good guy. I'm not sure. I'm not sure who he is, but he's in the book of Ezekiel, and I think he's related to the millennial temple in Ezekiel. And I understand in the millennial temple, they're going to still be offering sacrifices. And I think he has something to do with that.
Then that will be Jesus, Bert, won't it? That during the millennial, there will be a temple in Jerusalem, and it will be sanctified. Now, during the millennial reign, Christ will be here on earth. But these are not sacrifices to atone for sin, because Christ did that. I really think it's a memorial. It's almost like the Lord's Supper, kind of a witness and an evangel or a memorial to what Christ already did.
No matter which way it is, in this, I would say, worship, it is for what God has done. And there's no need of sacrifice anymore. So it would be a picture of that for sure. And I think it would be only him, the high priest, that could do such a thing that is talked about there, Alex, which would be Jesus Christ, our high priest.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. And by the way, that we really do go into a fair amount of depth on this in our book on 100 Bible Questions and Answers. But thank you there, Steve. We're going to go to Megan is it Iowa? Are you in Iowa, Megan?
I am, yes, that's correct. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I've called in before just to appreciate you guys, and I still do. I listen to you all the time, and I have recently really dug deep into Christ and started reading the Bible every day. And I, like I said, listen to you guys every day. And I read the Daily Bread, and I'm starting to notice little signs of joy that Jesus, excuse me.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Is showing me what heaven is going to be like or whatnot. If today there's a walk of hope for overdoses in Iowa. And my son died of a fentanyl overdose. Mm-hmm. And I've decided to participate this year. And it's just, it's wonderful what God is doing in my life and how I'm starting to tell my parents about God, and they're now starting to ask questions, and it's just wonderful. It makes me happy. My dad has recently been saved.
Praise God.
Amen. Hey, Megan, amen. Alex, can I share this with Megan real quick?
Yes.
You just talked about restore. Listen to this. Underline this, Megan, when you read through the scriptures. It's a little different, but it's still the same. David, who had sinned and coming back to God, verse 12 of Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation, God's salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit. God's going to pour his spirit into you, and you just let him saturate your life. Now, listen to the rest of this in verse 13, because you're just talking about witnessing. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Megan, when I heard what God was doing in your life, that verse came to my mind because you're talking about the joy after heartache, and now you're sharing Christ. I'm praying that God would just keep on using you. Alex, go ahead, man.
Amen. Thank you for sharing this. And the Lord is with you. God is working. And let me say, your joy in the Lord is so such a good witness, Megan. Our prayers are with you, aren't they, Bert?
Let's pray for her right now. Alex, would you pray for Megan?
Yes, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless our dear sister there in Iowa. Lord, I pray comfort. She's had a significant loss in her life. And Lord, we pray you would continue to heal her heart. Lord, we rejoice exceedingly over her dad coming to faith. And Lord, I know that you love her very much and you are with her. And Lord, you are holding her up. And Lord, let these tears be tears of joy, ultimately, because of all that you're doing. Lord, every blessing we pray for her. I know many listening can relate because of the concerns of life, the victories, but also sometimes the heartbreaks. Lord, we bring them all to you, and we trust you, and we look to you as Megan does. And Father, we give you the glory for the way you work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
We're going to try to get in one more call, Jacob in Michigan. Jacob, are you there?
I'm here, guys. Thank you for taking my call. My quick question is, can you talk about the hornet and what that means in Scripture?
Okay.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. Let me start this out. There's a Hebrew word, T-S-I-R-A-H, and I don't know, I think it's actually pronounced like Sirah. The T is silent, I think. But you know what it means? It is translated in the English as hornet. Some commentators think it means locust, but it means, get this, the stinging one.
It is.
Now the stinging one. Now, where I come from, we got a lot of bugs that fit that description, Bert. And you know, growing up on a farm in North Carolina, I think by the time I was 15, I probably had been stung 500 times by some bee or wasp or hornet, probably locusts. Bert, what do you say?
Well, it can be actual that, but it does sting. It does leave pain. We know that. Is it a real insect like that, or is it a picture of something that's similar to? Either way, Alex, it leaves. It's painful and it hurts, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And God used some of these insects to fight against the Canaanites and others.
He did.
Hey, tomorrow It's going to be Thursday Thunder. All the questions for all the hour tomorrow, and we hope you'll tune in.
Thank you for listening, and we thank you so much for you being a part of AFR family. We really are. That's the way we consider, as one of the callers said, you're our friends. That's what we want to be, a friend that would show Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.